Yes, good morning. I hope you're safe. I hope the Lord has kept you safe and sound. This is a day that the Lord has met. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. And thank you for joining us today. It's a new week, and we believe the Lord to come out and be strong for us and help us and stand with us. And we shall soak ourselves in His Word. We shall walk with Him. We shall talk to Him. We shall stand and be firm, because those who stand shall not fall. The Lord being on our side will be safe. But we just need to be confident that the Lord hears us and He will deliver us at all times. Thank you for taking time to join us here. We study the Word, and we aim to study from the book of Genesis to Revelation. By the grace of God, we've been able to do 19 books of the Bible, and this week we shall be completing the book of Proverbs, which will be our 20th book. And if you've not been able to listen to the podcast that we've done straight from the book of Genesis, there are over 300 episodes for you that you can listen in your free time. And by the way, you can even listen again to that episode which you've already listened to. And let me tell you the amazing thing. It comes anew. It's fresh. You get it in a mode that you didn't get it last time. God reveals something new to you even as you listen. And that just amazes me about the Word of the Lord, that it is always new every morning. I read something today, I get revelation about it. And tomorrow I come back, read the same thing, and I get a new revelation about it. That is how powerful the Word of the Lord is. That's how strong the Word of the Lord is. So let's keep on listening. Let's keep on asking God to reveal His Word to us. Now I want to continue with where we stopped last time, Proverbs 25. And it starts by saying, "These are also the Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied." Hezekiah was a king of Judah. Of course, Solomon also was a king in that line. And we are told that these men copied them from Solomon. And it says, verse 2, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter." Concealing a matter, sometimes we ask ourselves, why doesn't God reveal this to us? What is this about? Why doesn't God come out and tell us why we are going through such a scenario in the world today? Why am I going through such an experience? Why doesn't God come out and tell me direct, straight, up front, you're going through it because of this? Why are all the mysteries existing in the world and we do not know about them? Why doesn't God reveal that to us? But here, it says, "By it is the glory of God to conceal a matter." That which has not been revealed to you by the Lord, it belongs to Him. And when He wills, He will reveal it to you, because it is His glory to conceal it. Yeah? "As the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so the hearts and minds of kings are unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, and there comes out the pure metal for a vessel for the silversmith to shape. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness." Of course, this all goes down to company. Wicked people throw down kings. Wicked people throw down your life. Wicked people lead astray. Wrong company brings you down. Wrong company takes you off course. I have learned in my life to lead a life, even if it is of few friends, but as long as they are positive for my life. I have learned that you don't need 100 friends in this world. Yeah, if they are 100 and they are all good, God bless you. That's amazing. How did you even achieve that? But it's hard to find. Let them be few, but of positive impact. Yeah, because wickedness throws away the throne of the king. Wickedness in your midst throws away your character, your integrity. It brings you down to the pit of destruction. Yeah. So your company is key. Do not be boastful. Do not be boastfully ambitious. and claim honor in the presence of the king. And do not stand in the place of great men, for it is better to be said to you, come up here, than for you to be placed lower in the presence of the prince whom your eyes have seen. Of course, this comes down to giving yourself a level that you've not been given yet. You come, take the front seat, and then they come and say, you know what? You are supposed to be seated behind. That one is the shameful walk to the back. So they're saying, you take humble pie, get a comfortable place. They will call you up. Yeah. Do not rush to argue your case before magistrates or judges. Otherwise, what will you do in the end when your case is lost and when your neighbor humiliates you? Argue your case with your neighbor himself before you go to court. This one, Jesus also mentions in the Gospels. And it's important that you have the moment of sorting out your trouble before it goes too far. Before it goes out, go to the person you've wronged and speak to them. Before it spread out, no gossipers are many. Before it goes into your entire group and friends and all about what you did, go and sort it out. Before it goes to the judge, go and sort it out. Because when it goes to the courts of law, now you have to pay fees to the lawyers. You have to pay damage fees because you are guilty anyway. So you will have to clear all that payment. But then, the wise thing to do here is go and sort your issues with the person that you have wronged. It's also a Christian thing to do. When we wrong people, we go to them and make things right. Take away the pride in your life and be able to go and speak to someone and tell them, I'm sorry, what I said was not right. Yeah, I'm sorry, what I did was not right. And the way this verse concludes says, and do not reveal another's secret. Don't go out speaking. Somebody comes and tells you something on their heart and is honest with you, tells you, you know, this is what I'm going through, and they open up to you, but you also decide to go out and tell the whole world about the experience of that person. As soon as you've heard it, do not reveal other people's secrets. By the time someone comes and speaks to you, they have trusted you. And sometimes it's us who are leaders who reveal people's things. Someone has come to you, spoken to you, probably in a counseling session, and the next time they know it, you're in the pulpit using them as an example. Be somebody who can be able to keep others' secrets. If somebody has trusted you, then don't betray their trust. Yeah? So do not reveal another secrets. All he who hears it will shame you, and the rumor about you and your action in court will have no end. Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken at the right time. We've been talking about words coming out at the right time, speaking the right thing at the right time. A lot in this book. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to an ear that listens and learns. Like the cold of snow brought from the mountains in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to those who send him. For he refreshes the life of his masters like clouds and wind without rain. Is a man who boasts falsely of gifts he does not give. I'll give this in the wedding meeting. I'll give 5 million in you're out there in your family gatherings. I'll help pay school fees for this child. But then when the right time comes to pay and the schools are open, you're like clouds and wind without rain. They come. I know you've all seen that. And outside it's all terrible. The trees appear like they're going to fall. Too much wind. Clouds are everywhere. Just before you know it, there's not even a single drop that comes down, but it passes by. That is the attachment given to a person who makes false speech and talks about how he's going to help, but does not even come out to help, does not even give those gifts, yet he's boasted much about them. By patience and a calm spirit, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft and gentle tongue breaks the bone of resistance. Have you ever seen people who get in a scenario that is fired up and they cool it by just speaking? when there is war breeding in a nation and they send an envoy and they go and sit down with rebels and they talk calmly, softly, and the war is gone. Many of the things that we have to resolve, conflicts, quarrels, and all that, are resolved by a soft and gentle tongue because it breaks the bond of resistance. When people have refused to work, they're saying, we are not going to work until you give this, 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 and this. And then they send somebody to come out and talk to them to calm them down. Yeah? Calm down the employees. That is a gift, by the way. Not all of us are good with it. Yeah? But that is a soft and gentle tongue that breaks the bone of conflict. Yeah? Have you found pleasure sweet like honey? Eat only as much as you need. Otherwise, being filled excessively, you vomit it. However good something is, however sweet something is, of course, here they are given, we are given the example of honey, but good things also have a limit. There is a limit that you have to place on them. Yeah? Even if you love chocolate so much, you cannot eat an entire carton. There is a limit you will have, otherwise it will become a problem to you. There are some things, however good they are, you have to control them. Otherwise, they become a problem to you. Let your foot seldom be in your neighbor's house, or he will become tired of you and hate you. Here, it is wisdom of and warning to us. Don't always appear in your neighbor's house or your friend's house. You're always in their presence. You're always visiting. And by the way, some of us, you visit at the time of food for you. Every time, lunchtime, you have reached. Tea time, breakfast, you have come to say good morning. Lunchtime, you've come to say good afternoon. Evening tea, you have come to say, yeah? So, here is just wisdom, a word of wisdom that you're given, that do not seldom be in your neighbor's house. Limit visitations. Yeah? Otherwise, they will get tired of you. They are struggling, they don't have money very well, they are not doing well with food, and for you are the one that they have to add to their family budget all the time. That is what they were talking about here. It's just a word of wisdom. Sometimes you give yourself a break in appearance, over appearance. Yeah, so that you do not become a common face that is going to release feelings to those that have to take care of you all the time. Like a club and a sword. And a piercing arrow is a man who testifies falsely against his neighbor. Like a broken tooth or an unsteady foot is confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble. Like one who takes off a garment in cold weather. Or like a reactive, useless mixture of vinegar on soda. How does that even come out? Is he who thoughtlessly sings joyful songs to a heavy heart. A person who takes off a garment in cold weather or puts vinegar in soda has been likened to the one who thoughtlessly sings joyful songs to a heavy heart. People have lost someone. Take an example. People have lost somebody. They're at a funeral. Their hearts are heavy. And the leader comes up with the praise song and tells them, get up on your feet, jump, jump, clap, clap. It's a heavy heart. That is thoughtless for you to come with the joy and the excitement to people who have a heavy heart. How is somebody mourning going to get up and jump and shout and go around and sing for joy, jumping and doing all that? That is the example that they are giving here. Yeah, you need to be able to read people, read seasons. Look at what somebody is going through and gauge and know how to approach them. Yeah, that takes wisdom. You have to be cautious on how you respond to you. Otherwise, you will break them down. Yeah. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he's thirsty, give him water to drink. How do you do that for your enemy? Somebody is wondering. Somebody who has treated me so badly, how do I do that for them? But that's wisdom here. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord will reward you. What is the meaning of heaping coals of fire? Now, this expression may refer to an Egyptian custom in which a penitent man carried a pan of coals on his head as a sign of repentance. If they've done something bad, they would carry a pan of coals, yeah, on their head, trying to show repentance. And the message in this verse is the admonition to return good for evil in the hope that your enemy will be moved to repentance. That when you do something good instead of evil, you heap coals on their head, yeah, they will move to repentance. Because they're like, if I did this thing to this person, how come they're treating me well? They might move to repentance, yeah. That is what we are told to do. That for those that hurt you, your enemies, those who treat you bad, treat them well. And by that, they might see and say, I want to have a life like that. That's a good example. I need to move with that. Let me also change and be a good person. And before you know it, they're no longer your enemy, but your friend. Sometimes it's you who does the job of getting them to turn. Verse 23, the north wind brings forth rain and a backbiting tongue and angry countenance. Yeah, it is better to live in a corner of the housetop on a flat roof exposed to weather than in a house shared with a quarrelsome, contentious woman. We talked about this last week. Yeah? Being at home with somebody who is always quarrelsome, contentious, a problem, never having peace, like cold water to a thirsty soul. So is good news from a distant land, like a muddied fountain and a polluted spring, is a righteous man who yields and compromises his integrity before the wicked. Don't compromise your integrity. Always stand at all times. It's not good to eat much honey. Nor is it glorious to seek one's glory. Like a city that is broken down and without walls is a man who has no self-control over his spirit and sets himself up for trouble. Self-control. Their desires, friends, they are there. Worldly desires, things you would want for your life, good things, opportunities that you see, this one is going to pass me by, but it's not coming in a genuine way. Let it pass. Have self-control. It's not easy, but have self-control. Control yourself. Yeah. Chapter 26, like snow in summer and like rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a short-sighted fool. We had taken long without finding this word fool. Now it has come back. It is a big occurrence in the book of Proverbs. Like the sparrow in her wandering, like the swallow in her flying, so the curse without cause does not come, and a light on the undeserving. Curses come to those that deserve them. That's what we are being told here. Yeah? It comes to somebody that deserves it. So don't worry when somebody curses you and you've done nothing. It won't come to light. It won't alight. It will not happen. You did nothing. God is protecting you. You stood firm. You've been a righteous man. God shall always look out for you. Don't worry. And people speak negative. They curse you. Yet you've done nothing. Don't worry. It will not come to see the light. Or is have the Lord on your side? A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the backs of fools who refuse to learn. Do not answer, nor pretend to agree with the frivolous comments of a close-minded fool, according to his folly. Otherwise, you, even you, will be like him. This is interesting. Do not answer or even agree with somebody who is loose, speaking in a way that is not right. Last weekend, I went for a football match here in our local league. And it was with one of the rivals that we have in the league. And you know, those matches are always filled with some level of violence. But I bravely say, let me go and watch it. And the camp that I sat in for the opponent was so difficult in the words they were speaking. They were vulgar. They were not a good place to sit, but then you had to brave through the match. But you would look at somebody, an old person, someone who is even worth being your father, and the words that they're bringing out of their mouth, dirty. And it reminded me much of the book of Proverbs and how you sit and speak and all your integrity is taken off you by the words you speak. But you would get to a point and somebody is looking at you and they are talking to you directly about whatever is happening in the match, and all these words, bad words, are coming out of their mouth, and you say, how do I respond to this person? Here it is, do not answer or even agree with them. Just be quiet. Otherwise, you'll be like them. Before you know it, you'll be sending the same words to the players on the pitch. Yeah? So be wise in how you speak, in how you associate. Yeah? Do not be led to speak like those that are close-minded. Always be alert. Speak positive. Yeah? Let your mouth release good words. Yeah? Don't speak negatively. And of course, there is also an alarm to us in this generation that is filled with social media. The words you say, the things that you say, the words that come out, the actions you do online are also important, because they are going to live for a very long time. And your children, your grandchildren will come out and see and say, "Eh, Daddy, what is that you posted? What were you thinking?" But be wise, don't be close-minded, because it all has an impact. Yeah? Answer and correct erroneous concepts of a fool according to his folly. Be able to come out and correct people. Otherwise, he will be wise in his own eyes if he thinks you agree with him. Get out and speak. Get out and speak. Tell the person what you said is not good. The words that are coming out of your mouth are not right. Yeah. Of course, be wise. You don't have to be the one correcting everyone in the world. Otherwise, you will enter into arguments and beatings and fights. But there are those that you know are close and you can answer to them. And you can respond to them and tell them what you're saying is not good. Watch your mouth. Yeah. May you reserve the wisdom to judge and know when to address an issue. Otherwise, you won't be the one to correct the whole world, but those around you that God has brought in your area, your confines, your workplace, at least try to correct them. Yeah? He who sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet. That means you sabotage yourself and drinks the violence it brings on himself as a consequence, like the legs which are useless to the lame. So is a proverb in the mouth of a fool who cannot learn from its wisdom. This chapter has so many fools' issues that they are talking about here. A fool does not learn. Proverbs do not help a fool. Yeah, they do not learn from it. Like one who absurdly binds a stone in a sling, making it impossible to throw, so is he who absurdly gives honor to a fool. Like a thorn that goes without being felt into the hand of a drunken man, so is a proverb in the mouth of a fool who remains unaffected by its wisdom. Like a careless archer who shoots down wildly and wounds everyone, so is he who hires a fool or those who by chance pass by. Like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats his foolishness, doing the same thing again and again and again. Categorizes you as one. Yeah, so you need to learn. Do you see a man who is unteachable and wise in his own eyes and full of self-conceit? There is more hope for a fool than him. The lazy person who is self-indulgent and lies on lame excuses says, "The lion in the road, a lion is in the open square, and if I go outside to work, I will be killed. As the door turns on its hinges, so does a lazy person on his bed, never getting out of it." People who don't want to work because they fear what is out there. "I might go there and lose all my money, all my investment." They say when you go there, bosses tempt you and they say all these things and they want to use you, so me, I won't go out asking for a job. All those attached to laziness. Go out and work. Go out and be ready to face the world. Trust the Lord. That many are failing in business doesn't imply you too will fail. Go with the Lord and trust in Him. Don't put excuses. These lions in the open square are excuses that lazy people put. Whenever you have excuses, you will not succeed. You need to get uncomfortable if you're looking for success in your life. And being uncomfortable means you go in places that are filled with trials, that are filled with dangerous things and people. My brother was telling me yesterday his workplace in town, how people go throwing on witchcraft and all in people's shops. But for you to fear to go to work because people do that is going to let you back. Go with the Lord, trusting in Him, and He will protect you and you'll succeed. Excuses are not part of the things that successful people have. They always have positivity. They put aside excuses. They put aside all those words of lions are in the open square. They go out and work, and that's what we should be. Yeah? Believing and trusting in the Lord. A lazy person buries his hand in the dish, losing opportunity after opportunity. That one we've seen. Opportunities that pass by. It worries him to bring it back to his mouth. The lazy person is wiser in his own eyes than seven sensible men who can give a discreet answer. Like one who grabs a dog by the ears and is likely to be beaten, is he who, passing by, stops to meddle with a dispute that is none of his business. People are having their issues along the road on the way, and you stop by. We see this a lot. People who stop, and you see a big crowd has gathered over other people's issues, and they are all listening. Go do your things. Leave them to settle their issues. It's none of your business. That's what the proverb here is saying. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows and death, so is a man who deceives his neighbor. Then says, was I not joking? You know, sometimes we use that word, I was joking, yet you were actually serious. It has just backfired on you, then you come out with, I was joking. For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and when there is no whisperer, people who gossip, contention quiets down. Whenever there are less gossipers in a place, there is more prosperity. Like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kind strife. The words of a whisperer or a gossiper are like dainty morsels to be greedily eaten. They go down into the innermost chambers of the body to be remembered and mused upon, like a common clay vessel covered with a silver dross, making it appear silver when it was real. It has no real value. A burning lips, murmuring and manipulative words, and a wicked heart. He who hates and disguises it with his lips, but he stores up deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously and kindly, do not trust him, for seven abominations are in his heart. Though his hatred covers itself with guile and deceit, his malevolence will be revealed openly before the assembly. Whoever digs a pit for another man's feet will fall into it. Whenever you plot evil for somebody else, you will fall into that evil. We do not plot evil for others. We are Christians. We are people of the Lord. We walk with Him. We do not plot evil for others. We do good. We live good. Yeah? It doesn't matter how much people treat you bad. Always stand for the Lord and do good for Him. Yeah? Don't dig pits for other people to fall in. Always plot good things for them. And he who rolls a stone up to a hill to do mischief, it will come back on him. A lying tongue hates those it wounds and crushes, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Being truthful, don't flatter others. Don't praise people, yet you know at the back of your mind what you're saying is not right. Always do good. Always be honest. Always speak the truth. Because with truth, you don't go wrong. And always the truth shall set you free. We shall close from there today. Father, we thank you for your word, your revelation. And we ask you to always go with us, Lord. It's a new week and we pray for your blessing upon us. Provide for us. Give us opportunities. Give us jobs. Give us clients. Prosper our businesses. May we have success this week in everything we do, in our workplaces. May we do everything we have to do with all our heart and increase us, increase opportunity. Let it come our way. Meet the desires of our hearts. And Lord, I pray that we succeed this week. We succeed in this season. We are not failures, but winners at all times. We take victory. We take prosperity. We take healing. We take all good things upon our lives. And may your favor and grace be upon us each and every day. We exhort you and give you glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.